When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Doug McIntyre in for John Cobalt on the John Cobalt Show. We're here till 4 o'clock. Next hour, we'll talk with Fred Rogan about the signing, the blockbuster deal that the Dodgers made for the highly praised Japanese free agent pitcher Yamamoto, who joins an incredible squad, maybe the best team on paper anyway that I've ever seen. So we'll get into all of that. And we got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about, including later on this hour about copper thieves swiping the wires out of the lighting system on the new beautiful 6th Street Bridge in downtown Los Angeles, and how our civic infrastructure is being plundered. It's sort of like the Visigoths and the barbarians coming down and plundering Rome. We'll get into all of that throughout the course of the day. New Oreo flavors are coming into the stores. The Golden Oreo has gone gluten-free permanently, and it's the fourth Oreo cookie to do that. And we'll update you on junk food because, let's face it, we are Americans and this matters. Meanwhile, Colorado, as you know by now, the Supreme Court in Colorado issued a ruling against Donald Trump that would kick him off of the ballot based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that specifically prohibits anyone from taking the oath of office and holding public office if they have, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion. And to talk to us about what this represents, both legally and maybe even culturally, politically, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program the UC Berkeley School of Law Dean Erwin Chemerinsky. Professor Chemerinsky, how are you?
I'm well. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thanks for jumping on with us. I have to start by qualifying my comments here. I believe that Donald Trump is guilty of all of this. That's my personal opinion. All right. But with that said, here's my problem with what happened in Colorado. He hasn't been convicted of anything yet. He hasn't even been tried for insurrection. I mean, they might do that in Washington and in Georgia, but he hasn't been tried for it and convicted. So what Colorado is doing is punishing somebody on allegations, and I don't see how that's legal.
The Constitution creates a number of limits on who can be the president. You have to be 35 years old. You have to be a natural-born citizen. You have to be 14 years in the United States, and you can't have participated in insurrection or rebellion. The question is, who needs to determine those things? Two law professors who are very conservative, William Bowd and Michael Paulson, wrote an article, and people can find it online, where they argue it doesn't require a conviction in order to be able to invoke Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. If a court finds that Donald Trump engaged in rebellion or insurrection, or aided rebellion or insurrection, that's enough to disqualify him.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm not, who am I to argue with you? I'm not only not a lawyer, I don't even know how to spell lawyer. I have to look it up. So I'm not going to argue with over it, but it's just weird because all of the other disqualifiers are quantifiable, easily quantifiable. You've either been in the country 14 years, you have it. You're either a natural born citizen or you're not. You're either 35 years of age or you're not. And they're all easily verified. You don't need to go to a court to determine that. Whereas everything else in life is you are innocent until proven guilty, even Donald Trump. And while I may personally believe that he's guilty of insurrection, but it hasn't been adjudicated. So I don't understand how they could mete out a punishment based on an allegation.
You've just said two different things. One is that it hasn't been adjudicated. It has been in the Colorado courts. Both the trial court and the Colorado Supreme Court found that he engaged in insurrection. The other thing you say is there has to be a criminal conviction first, but that's not what the language of the 14th Amendment says. It might have. It might have said anyone convicted of insurrection or rebellion cannot hold office, but it doesn't say that. It says shall engage in insurrection or rebellion, and the question is it enough that the Colorado courts found that that occurred?
Now, we are talking with Professor Erwin Chemerinsky, the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. So, what are the issues? This is going to, I assume, be fast-tracked to the U.S. Supreme Court for clarity. Do you see issues that need to be clarified on this?
Very much so, and I think it's a good thing that it's going to come to the Supreme Court because it should be resolved for the entire country in as early as possible. My nightmare would be after Trump has already sewn up the nomination, or even worse, after he's been chosen by the Electoral College, then to resolve the issue. And we shouldn't be deciding this state by state. The 14th Amendment, Section 3, means the same thing everywhere. To answer your question, one issue is, does this apply to the president? The language says no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress, or elector, president, vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States. Does that include the office of president? The trial court in Colorado said it doesn't include the president, but the Colorado Supreme Court reversed. What does it mean to engage in insurrection or rebellion, as we were talking about? Does it require criminal conviction first? Is what Trump did on January 6th, and since January 6th, part of insurrection or rebellion? And there's also the underlying issue, should the court get involved in this at all, or should the court say, whose president is really left to the political process?
Yeah, that's the political question doctrine.
Exactly, and I think one possible outcome in the Supreme Court would be to say, it's a political question. But then I go back to the examples I mentioned earlier. The president has to be 35 years old, a natural-born citizen, 14 years a resident. Would the courts enforce that or say that's a political question too? Do constitutional provisions have meaning if there's no one there to enforce them?
Well, that's right. And that's an interesting argument. I read your piece. You wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times that ran within the last couple of days. That's about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was explicitly put in there to deal with former elected officials of the Confederacy. I mean, people forget that Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, was Secretary of War under Franklin Pierce. So he was a United States senator for many years. So he was a highly ranked United States government official who then weighed in, you know, with the traitors. And they wanted to make sure that he never returned to public office. That eventually, I do believe there are former Confederates who did end up back in serving an elective office. But nonetheless, that's why the 14th Amendment, Section 3 exists, if I got that correct.
Everything is correct. There's one qualification that's important. Between 1868, when 14th was ratified, in 1872, a large number of individuals were kept from holding office by virtue of having been on the rebel side of the Civil War. A number of individuals precluded from serving in Congress. In 1872, Congress passed a statute that in essence gave amnesty and said that those who had participated in the rebel side of the Civil War were eligible to serve. And that's pursuant to, there's another clause in Section 3 that says, Congress, maybe by a two-thirds vote of each house, remove such disability. And Congress did that in 1872 from those who had fought in the Civil War on behalf of the South.
Is there such a thing, in your opinion, as settled law?
Sure.
The reason I ask that is that because we always hear people say, well, this is settled law, but then someone comes along and unsettles it. And then it's a political argument again. I mean, there were many people who thought, for instance, Roe versus Wade was settled law in America and used to refer to it as settled law during campaigns. And then, as we've seen, that wasn't the case.
Well, Roe versus Wade was settled law for 49 years. Many nominees to the Supreme Court, when they went before the Senate Judiciary Committee, said it was settled
exactly.
law. And then it got overruled. Now, some things have been settled law since the beginning of the country. Some things have been settled law more recently. Some things in the law aren't likely to change. Some change all the time.
Well, one of the things that I never thought I would live to see is the political chaos that we're living with right now, including the story that we've been talking about earlier about the Detroit press report, Detroit Daily News, excuse me, reporting that they have a tape of then President Trump and the chairwoman of the GOP Republican National Committee literally leaning on Wayne County election officials not to certify the election results. I mean, we are in the weeds on stuff that I just didn't see coming. I mean, so we've got all kinds of issues that need to be worked through the body politic, and hopefully the Supreme Court will still have enough respect with the consent of the governed to accept the decisions that are made. And we're seeing even that's being challenged by people. I mean, certainly in the aftermath of Roe versus Wade, or going back to Bush versus Gore, the Supreme Court itself, you know, was attacked by people who called it, you know, President Select Bush and, you know, judicial coup d'etat. We heard all of these charges, but we need to have an umpire in American law that we respect enough to abide by the decision. Otherwise, I don't know where we're going to be.
I totally agree with you. And right now, the Supreme Court has its lowest approval ratings in history. A poll last spring had only 30% approving and 59% disapproving. A Gallup poll had only 25% expressing confidence in the court. And I do think it's really important that we have a court with legitimacy. And going to your prior point, we've had how many presidential elections over the course of American history? We never before had an incumbent president try to stay in office, notwithstanding the outcome of the Electoral College. What we saw in December and January of 2020 and 2021 was unprecedented in history. And still Donald Trump claims that he was cheated out of the election.
Well, I always point to 2000, and I thought it was one of the great moments in American civic life when Al Gore, bitterly disappointed over the Supreme Court decision that awarded the presidency to George W. Bush over basically 500 votes in one county in Florida, certified the Electoral College results that that resulted in his own defeat as vice president. That was an amazing moment. Would you hang on? Because I have something else I want to get into. Erwin Chemerinsky is with us, the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. He wrote an op-ed piece a couple weeks ago about the rise of support for Hamas, basically, and or the Gazans and the Palestinians on college campuses, something he knows quite a bit about. We'll discuss that in just a bit.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
Doug McIntyre in for John Kobelch on the John Kobelch Show here. We're here till 4 o'clock. And we got a lot to talk about. We're chatting with Professor Erwin Chemerinsky, the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. And I asked him to hang on because a couple weeks ago, he wrote an op-ed piece about the rise of support for the Palestinian cause on college campuses. And everybody's talking about this. We've seen it. But he's obviously been on college campuses for his entire professional life. So I wanted to get him to weigh in on this. It was a really interesting piece in the LA Times. Thanks for hanging in there, Professor. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, you know, it's always dicey when you try to identify the moment a culture changes. I mean, there's so many wild cards and things that contribute to paradigm shifts. But it seems to me that around the 73 war, the 67 war, the Western world rallied strongly to the Israeli side. But the 73 war, it seems like after that, maybe because of Vietnam and other anti-war movements, there just seemed to be a winnowing of support for Israel. And now we're seeing a real change in the emotional attachment and reflexive support of Israel in the West and specifically in the United States. At least that's my observation.
Yes, and I want to be clear that I support the ability to students and others to advocate for Palestinian rights. I support the right of students to advocate for Israel and Israel's positions. What I was saying in the op-ed was that some of what I was hearing was stunning. The celebration of Hamas's terrorism on October 7th is something I never expected that I would hear. At times, what I've heard is it's gone beyond criticizing Israel to things that are just anti-Semitic. And that's what I was speaking about.
Well, I think that that's exactly right. And this is where there's a disconnect where you can obviously, as anybody, look, the Israelis argue over their own politics and their own government and behavior of their elected officials. So it's certainly A-okay for the rest of the world to have opinions on these things and to disagree on these things. So the Netanyahu administration is another political administration that has a lot of controversies, including allegations of corruption, people and oppressive policies on settlements, etc. That's Marcus of Queensbury rules for political debate. But how that then morphs into support for genocide, and that's what we're hearing. We're hearing actual people actually advocate genocide.
That's what I was so surprised by on October 8th when I saw Law Students for Justice in Palestine here, or Students for Justice in Palestine across the country, celebrating what Hamas had done. And there's no way to describe what occurred on October 7th other than the most brutal form of terrorism. Now, I can also criticize what Israel is doing in Gaza, but it doesn't change. The celebration of Hamas was deeply disturbing.
Well, to me, this is representative, and I may be, you know, stretching the point here, but it seems to me that this is representative of the time in which we live almost across the board, where there's just no shade of gray. It's like you're all in or you're all out. And we're seeing this politically where, you know, the truth has, you know, is the first thing to die in the political arena today. And that winning is the only objective, that we are tolerating really extremist positions and denigrating the whole notion of compromise or nuance.
I think you're right in this context. What's changed in the last couple of years is that my students on the Palestinian side take the position that Israel shouldn't exist at all. Their chant on campuses, we don't want no two states, we want 48, meaning go back to 1948 when there's no Israel. And on the other hand, many, including Jewish students, believe the existence of Israel is essential. There is no middle between those who want to see Israel eliminated and those who believe that the existence of Israel is imperative.
Well, I agree, and I've always made that argument. It's very hard to negotiate some kind of equilibrium on one side. It's like you go to the boss and say, I'd like a raise, and the boss says, that's funny because we were actually thinking of having you killed. You know, there's really not a lot of negotiating room there. And sadly, that's not hyperbole in some cases.
It's not, and what makes it different now on campus is how deeply divided the students and the faculty are. I was in college during the Vietnam War, and the students were almost all on one side. Today, what you find is the students for Justice in Palestine, the faculty for Justice in Palestine are on one side, and many of the Jewish students are on the other. And, of course, there's allies with each of those groups. But I think at this point, the Palestinian cause has done a much better job of building coalitions on campus and has more support than the Israel side or the Jewish students.
Well, it's tragic, in my opinion. It's historically debased. And there's a moral issue here that somewhere along the line, the notion that wealth and power is de facto wrong, if not outright evil, all the time, that a wealthy and powerful nation is just automatically wrong. And that's not clearly not a moral precept that's validated by history.
Of course, you're right. There can be wealthy countries doing good and wealthy countries doing awful things. There can be economically disadvantaged countries doing wonderful things and economically disadvantaged countries doing awful things. No country has a monopoly on either virtue or sin.
Well, I don't know how we're going to pull out of this because, again, if people are not open-minded enough to consider where the other person stands, then compromise and basically a civic society is not possible. You can't maintain it. These are real issues. So we'll just stumble on and see what we do. I really appreciate you coming on and spending time with us. Thanks for being with us today.
Anytime. My pleasure. Okay. Happy holidays.
You too. Erwin Chemerinsky from the UC, the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. When we come back, you know, when Rome fell, remember when Rome fell, Deborah? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just like it was a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
When the Roman Empire fell, you know, the ignorant, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing Visigoths and barbarians stormed down from the north and plundered Rome, toppled, you know, the Forum and all the beautiful architecture, et cetera. I don't know. It kind of feels like that's happening in Los Angeles and other places. Latest one, the 6th Street Bridge. We just spent millions building this beautiful bridge in downtown LA. They plundered it. We'll get into that in just a bit.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
McIntyre in for John Cobalt on the John Cobalt Show. And we are Chris Merrill at 4 o'clock in for Timmy. Correct. I believe that is correct. That's what I heard in the hallway. That's where you hear everything. That's actually the source of all information at KFI is the hallway. Not even the men's room. Nobody wants to make eye contact in there. There was an incident a few years ago. Anyway, happy to be with you. I'm going to be in for Gary and Shannon on the 27th, 28th, and 29th of December because I made the mistake of answering the phone. And meanwhile, everybody who's working right now, which includes Deborah Mark and Eric Richie, we are the people who did not allocate your vacation days properly.
That is so true.
Screwed up, and now you got these death.
I have no days left.
You got the death stretch of talk radio when nobody answers the phone. You can't get a guest. You can't get anything. Nothing's happening. There's nothing to talk about, which is why all those dopey TV shows do the gingerbread house, you know, segments on the cooking shows. They got no news either. So I mentioned the Sixth Street Bridge. Deborah's been bringing this story. The beautiful bridge that they built in downtown L.A., known as the Ribbon of Light. I didn't know it was known as the Ribbon of Light, by the way. But as soon as this thing was built, the road takeover people ruined it by, you know, doing donuts all over the bridge and leaving like 25 sets of tires ripped up all over the bridge roadway. And now vandals have gone and they stripped copper wire out of the lighting system, causing what? Blacking out the bridge. And, you know, we've seen this, obviously, when the price of copper goes up, then the scavengers, and they'll go and they'll strip it out of the light poles and all the street lights go out in neighborhoods. I play a softball in an L.A. city park, which is a whole other story, by the way, because the city of Los Angeles can't maintain the softball fields. They don't care. They just don't care. We have begged them. We have pleaded with them to do so. We have people getting badly injured. A ball comes up and hits people in the face, literally surgery, broken bones. They just don't care. We've tried and tried and tried. We've offered to volunteer to help. They won't do it. But for a year, there were no lights on the softball fields because people had stripped the copper wire. This is when the homeless, by the way, just set the palm trees on fire and have burned down the porta potties. The regular bathrooms aren't open because they've been vandalized so many times. They just put porta potties out and they have been melted where the, you know, crackheads set them on fire. And you come in the morning and there's literally a pool of melted plastic where the porta potties used to be. But the lights were off for over a year because the copper wire had been stripped out of the light poles. And this is what's happening all over the city. Didn't you have the story, Deborah, about the guy in Chino Hills who was stealing fire hydrants?
Yes.
Allegedly. Do I have to say allegedly?
Allegedly. I have to say it.
I don't have to say it.
You don't.
You're the talk show host. We don't allege anything. We accuse. Accuse. Swiping fire hydrants. How could that lead anything but goodness in society?
Thirsty?
Right?
I don't know.
What does he need with fire hydrants? I know.
Well, scrap metal. That's really all it is.
That's fair.
That's all it is that people steal this. There was a prospector bronze statue in like the Wilshire District a few years ago that they cut and they showed up at a salvage yard. Whenever the price of metals go up, people say, oh, well, that's some easy money. Of course, occasionally someone's from the light poles gets electrocuted, which seems to be an instant form of karmic justice. But anyway, this is going on all over the place, and it really does feel like, well, this is like why you can't have good things. You try to build a beautiful bridge that could be a showplace kind of piece of architecture, something that would actually be a contribution to the way the city looks, as opposed to the sprawl of wires and power lines and billboards that are everywhere. And the barbarians come in and strip it to make a couple of quick bucks. And it's happening all over the city. Meanwhile, then you've got city negligence, as I mentioned, and you know, I feel bad about saying this publicly because we've tried to do it privately for so long, but the Parks Department just can't get the softball. It's a very simple thing, by the way. They've been doing baseball fields for 125 years in this country. And you go to Burbank, you go to Culver City, you go to Thousand Oaks, you go to Simi Valley, you go to any Glendale, any of the surrounding communities, and the softball fields are like Dodger Stadium. And then the city of Los Angeles, the softball fields that the senior softball leagues play on, it's like the it's like the battlefields of World War I with pockmark holes and gullies. I mean, I wish I was kidding, weeds. At one point, we had a ground squirrel infestation where during the game, the squirrels used to pop up like whack-a-mole. I want to say, give him a glove and maybe he can make a play for us. And we've tried over, gone to the commissioner, the Parks Department commissioner meetings and begged them for, we brought big posters showing the damage and the injuries, by the way. Contusions and broken bones and scars from post-surgical repairs to the players' faces after they get hit by balls that bounce up and injure people. Just, you know, for a couple of weeks, you get some action, and then it starts backsliding again. Over and over and over again. Petitions and photos and lobbying to no effect. And that's what happens. Then people just give up. They just give up and say, well, it's pointless. And maybe that has something to do with the story that we're going to be talking about next hour, which is for the third year in a row, California has lost population, including and very damaging to the bottom line. Some of the wealthiest people who live in California have voted with their feet and they've split. And, you know, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign when the public infrastructure is vandalized and looted. And the streets go dark because the lights have been, the copper wires have been pulled out of the lights, or a public park. You can't have a bathroom at a public park without it being destroyed. And the city can't maintain its basic infrastructure where they say, yeah, come out and play softball. We've got leagues. And then you go out there and you have a real good risk of being injured because they won't maintain the facilities. And then meanwhile, you see you're losing the tax base as businesses close and move out of state. Or people just say, you know, I've lived here my whole life. My family's from here, but I'm getting out of town and I'm taking my retirement savings with me and we're mailing pension checks to Idaho and to Arizona, to Florida, and all that money's leaving California. And then we got a $68 billion deficit. So, you know, this is not a sign of a place that's being run properly. It is 640 is the call letters, right? That's the numbers on the dial. That's what I saw. I was looking at the clock, which is 244.
You want to work until 640?
No, I didn't want to work till 240. And now that I've heard that last segment, I'm not sure anybody else wanted me working either.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, if you're listening out of state, former Southern California resident, used to listening to KFI, we'll be talking about why you moved out of state in the next hour. We're also going to check in with Fred Rogan, who's going to talk to us about the signing of a major free agent acquisition for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who put together a super team. Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers to join the pitching staff, and that is a big, big, big deal. So we'll get into that with Fred. And lots of other things. We're here till 4 o'clock. And a reminder, I have this book called Frank's Shadow, and if you would like to get a copy of it for Christmas or send it to somebody as a Christmas gift, you get signed copies at my website, DougMcIntyre.com, or go to that Amazon.com. You've heard about that. And Mr. Bezos will rush you a copy at a great price, and I think they can get it to you if you're one of those Prime members before Christmas. So go check out Frank's Shadow at Amazon.com. Oreo announced that they're putting out new gluten-free golden Oreos as a permanent fixture in your grocery aisle beginning on January 3rd. And they're also bringing back the Oreo Cakester with a peanut butter cream filling, and that's going to be a permanent item on the Oreo aisle. And for a short period of time, one of these teasers, a limited edition black and white cookie edition Oreo, which will be a biggie for New Yorkers who are used to eating those black, or anybody goes to Bee's Bakery in the Valley.
Yep.
You know your black and white cookies.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. And they're going to have a Oreo version of the black and white cookie in store shelves for a brief period of time. Now, I bring this up because I've discovered something. I'm going to let you know about this. Those of you who eat salad or don't work in radio, this doesn't apply to you. But those of us who do work in radio, you know, we live on garbage. Eric is smiling, but he knows I'm telling the truth.
Well, I was going to say, Deborah, she eats rabbit food, so she doesn't live on garbage.
I know, this applies, but John Cobalt will be totally in on this.
Oh, yeah.
All right, because I have the exact same diet that he does. Never a vegetable has crossed my lips of any kind.
You, John, and Al Michaels.
Oh, man, I can't stand, I just can't do it. I can't, this stuff, I have a gag reflex. It's the worst. But when you work in radio, you live out of vending machines. And I have seen, in especially when I was doing overnights, you know, midnight to 5 a.m., that shift, whew, you know, I've seen rugby scrums over a Tic Tac that's stuck in the carpet. You know, people just dive on it like it's a loose ball, you know, at during a Rams game. But as a result, I'm kind of an expert on garbage. And one of the major junk food categories are Hostess, everything that Hostess makes, including the immortal Hostess cupcake that's got the little white squiggly line down the middle.
Oh, I used to love those.
You know, I saw a skunk in the backyard that had a squiggly line down the middle. I almost ate it.
Oh, God.
But meanwhile, here's the deal. You know, Hostess went bankrupt a few years ago, and I have no idea how that happened. In a nation where, you know, we have an obesity epidemic. We have fat children. I mean, really, it's a major epidemic. Diabetes, all this. I don't know how the leading manufacturer of glutinous, sugary products could go out of business, but somehow they did. And then the brand got bought, and I think it's been bought and sold a couple of times. But here's what I noticed, and I know I'm right about this. They're not as good as they used to be. When Hostess was still Hostess, you know, when you were in the
Twinkies,
you know, you were in the mood for one of those squiggly lines down the middle of your cupcake, you jump on it, and the Hostess cupcake was a treat. They're okay in a pinch, but here's what I discovered, and I'm telling you right now, folks, if you're on the road and there's a 7-Eleven in front of you, pull in. Just pull in, because here's what you want to do. Go in and get the 7-Eleven brand, the knockoff of the Hostess cupcake. 7-Eleven makes its own brand of cupcake with the squiggly line down the middle. And I'm telling you, it's got to be my witness. It's amazing.
And it's probably cheaper, right?
That I don't know. I don't care at any price. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, when you open the package, it feels a little slimy, like it's got some kind of chemical in it that keeps it. Oh. But here's the payoff. Well, it feels like it's been sweating in the packaging. It's so moist compared to the Hostess cupcakes now, which, you know, you need a quart of milk or you'll choke to death. It's not safe to eat those things without some kind of lubricant handy. This thing is self-lubricating. It's like a self-basting turkey. But I'm telling you right now, folks, if you see a 7-Eleven, trust me on this. This is almost 30 years in the radio business. I know junk food, and I wouldn't steer you wrong on something as important as a sugary, glutinous snack. Okay, we got another hour to go, and we got a lot to talk about. I mentioned that Mr. Rogan will be here, which is good. You know, Warner Brothers and Paramount, as if there hadn't been enough bad news in Hollywood. Warner Brothers and Paramount, two of the iconic studios, and I hate using that word, but it's true in this case. The gates at Paramount Pictures, the water tower at the Burbank lot for Warner Brothers. This is, you know, the closing scene of Blazing Saddles when they come tumbling out onto Olive Avenue. From Warner Brothers, they may be merging. And you know what happens when those mergers take place? That means fewer and fewer places to work. And we're also going to talk about, for the third year in a row, the exodus from California. This is not a sign of health. And our friends up in Sacramento, who can never lay off a dumb idea, are going to mandate that department stores have gender-neutral toy aisles. Okay, because every other problem has been dealt with in the state of California. We don't have any homeless. They've ended gridlock. They canceled the crazy train. They've got the cost of housing under control, right? They've got all those problems. No smog anywhere. They built the reservoirs so we don't go into droughts, right? All the problems.
Gas prices are at an all-time low.
Absolutely. Schools never been better. Everybody's achieving perfect at their grade level, above their grade level, right? They've got all those problems under control. We don't need to have like vending machines for Narcan because we've got the fentanyl epidemic under control. Gender-neutral toy aisle coming to a department store near you. So we've got all that. And by the way, speaking of reservoirs, I'll update you on the fact that we actually are, it looks like, possibly making progress that we may actually build our first major reservoir in the state of California in almost 50 years, which is really hard to fathom how we could go that long and figure, well, you know, maybe people will just have a bucket and run around and catch raindrops and somehow that'll solve the drought. That is as hard to explain as why it took until the 1980s before luggage manufacturers started putting wheels on suitcases. This is something that has flummoxed me for as long as I've lived. That if you look at a movie from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 1970s, and there's a scene at the airport, everybody is carrying the luggage because no one had thought to put wheels on it. You look at those movies in the 1940s, people at the docks, they're arriving by ship, and there's porters, mostly the only way black actors could get a job, and they're giant steamer trunks on trolleys because no one can carry their own luggage. I guess that's why they call it luggage. You had to lug it, right? Because nobody thought to put the wheel, something that Og the caveman came up with, and they didn't start putting wheels on luggage until the 1980s. Inexplicable. Well, that's the same thing with building reservoirs in California. Not since the late 70s has California built a major reservoir in the state. That may change. Right now, we're going to change hands. Hand it off to that 24-hour KFI newsroom for the very latest in traffic and news. And Deborah Mark.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.